Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
On this episode, we discuss Michigan football's presence at Big Ten Media Days, where head coach Jim Harbaugh, quarterback Cade McNamara, and others spoke about the upcoming season. We share and analyze their most interesting comments. Coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be talking with you here late morning Wednesday, July 27th. Aaron, you're in Indianapolis. You didn't bring your wife. This isn't your honeymoon, is it? Please.
No, it's not. We don't leave until Saturday. This is like the pre-honeymoon, right?
Right. Good, good. Well, it's apparently written in our contracts that someone from the Wolverine Confidential Podcast has to be in Indianapolis, at least once a month. That's just policy now at this point for the last few years.
It's weird. I feel like this is like second home. I've probably been here like 10 times in the last like 3 or 4 years, whether it's like media days or the combine or the Big Ten champions. I feel like I'm always here, which I'm not complaining. It's actually a nice town.
Yeah, no, I can relate. All right. So, yes, it's Big Ten media days. It's over 2 days with the team split up. Michigan's was Tuesday with Harbaugh and select players appearing and speaking to the media. So let's start with the quarterback stuff. I feel like that's the most important, most interesting. All right. So reading your story, and you can lay it out for us here, but it kind of sounds like Harbaugh presented the quarterback situation as an open competition in his sort of podium remarks when he first started. But then when he, actually took questions in a breakout session, he made it a little more clear that it's McNamara's job to lose. Is that correct?
That's my read on the situation. So when we go, if we back this up to spring and even early June, Jim has obviously multiple times presented this as an open competition. He has said that, both guys are going to get a shot, and it's going to be up to them. Now, we get here to Indianapolis yesterday, Tuesday, and he does his 15 minutes at the podium for the Big Ten Network. And, he tells them, or he's asked about the quarterback competition, and he basically says what he did back in June, that it's open to competition. Cade's going to be tough to beat, and JJ's going to be tough to beat. A couple hours later, we get him on a breakout for about an hour, and a reporter asks him, point blank, what did Cade think, or how did he respond to the idea that he wasn't named the starter going into camp? And Jim twice said, who said Cade wasn't the starter? So it got really awkward, because then it's like, well, what do you mean? Like, you presented this as a competition from the get-go. So you can read it one of two ways. And I think I've said this or written this multiple times, but this was Cade's job to lose. He was going to enter camp as the front runner, whether Jim Harbaugh said it or not, just based off of what happened last year and everything else. I think that the apprehension here is going into the public and the media and declaring that so to, upset JJ or upset Cade. So I think when Jim was asked point blank yesterday, Cade's response to this, and I think that's why he said that, because I don't think he wanted, him on the record saying, Cade wasn't going to be the starter. So it's a real convoluted situation. I think if you've been following with any regularity, based on what happened last year, I think everyone assumed Cade was a front runner just because JD didn't practice much in the spring. He's coming off a shoulder injury. He just didn't play a ton last year. Common sense tells you Cade is a front runner, and I think that's really the case going into camp when they open next week.
Yeah. I mean, if you're McNamara, yes, you've got, you would be concerned and not concerned, but probably a little disappointed and frustrated if you weren't. I mean, you'd say, what more do I have to do? You know, Michigan was a very good defensive team last year, but it wasn't like that's what truly like carried the team by any means. I mean, they were 20th in total defense in the country. Three Big Ten teams were ahead of them. That wasn't like they had some absolutely dominant unit and they just played, you know, ball control football and McNamara was just out there, you know, handing off and just kind of managing the game. So, you know, he played a big role in Michigan's, you know, Big Ten championship season, the win over Ohio State, getting to the playoffs. So, You get that. It's just funny. Yeah. Harbaugh saying, you know, who said he wasn't the starter? Well, maybe he didn't say he wasn't, but he didn't say he was. And I think that's part of the issue there.
Make no mistake about it too. Cade has approached this as being the starter. I mean, he carries himself as a starter. He thinks he's a starter. I mean, it was back in the spring when he declared himself, you know, accurately too, you know, the Big Ten championship winning quarterback, because he led the team. He started every game and everything else. You know, he was asked about that on Tuesday here in Indianapolis, and you know, he said it's my team. You know, he believes that he has the confidence and the trust in the rest of his team. They believe in him. He believes in them. He believes that he's got a better grasp of the offense. He thinks he's a better player than he was last year. He kind of ran down the areas where he worked on this offseason. We'll have a story here in the coming days and more details on that. But he just thinks he thinks he's a better quarterback, and he's better equipped to handle the offense than last year. And if that's the case, and obviously time will tell with that, then yeah, I think he should be the starter, at least, you know, early in the season, week one.
You guys, let's be real too, that Michigan has like 3-4 cupcakes to start the season to sort this all out too. I mean, if you think only one of them is going to be playing in the first four games, you're probably going to be mistaken. There's going to be opportunities to get both these guys in when they finally travel to Iowa on October 1st. That's probably the best indication of who your actual number one is. Because yeah, that you're there. I know a lot of people don't like the double quarterback system, but when you have the schedule like they do to start the season, it's likely that they're both going to be playing a decent amount.
It all depends on the question and the framing of it, right? Like JJ still appeared in like 11 games last year. He was in most of them. You know, he played to different degrees, and in some of the games it was late and it was garbage time. But Jim feels, and I think you're going to see more of that this year, where both of those guys are going to play in different situations. We've documented it. JJ brings a different, skill set. He's stronger in different areas, and I think if they feel like they can accentuate that and utilize that, they will. So you're absolutely right. You're going to see both guys play this fall. The question is, to what degree are the reps more split? Is it maybe more drastically different? I don't know, but I would be shocked if you didn't see JJ McCarthy. But now the one variable here, the one outstanding question that JJ, I don't think has been asked yet, but how is the arm really feeling? We don't even know what the injury was. He hasn't even said. We all know he didn't throw in the spring, and I'm curious to see how that impacts him going to fall camp and what his arm strength and, you know, what usage there is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to see a scenario much like last year play out, at least early in the year, where Cade McNamara plays well, Michigan wins, but McCarthy gets in the game, has some highlight reel plays, and, you know, a section of the fan base calls for him to take over because they feel that's Michigan's best chance to reach its full potential. Now, you can no longer say that he's their only chance to beat a team like Ohio State, because McNamara went and did that last year. So, it's easy to see that with the way the schedule sets up, that something like that happens. What else did you learn? Like, what were the other key storylines? Who were the other players that were there, and, you know, what did they have to say?
Yeah, Michigan brought four this year. Jim typically brings three. I don't know the different or why he decided to bring four this year. Now, he did say he felt like he could have brought 30 to 35. Obviously, that's coach speak.
That would have been something.
Yeah, I don't know, right? But in fact, it's funny. They actually chartered a flight. They flew down straight from Traverse City to Indianapolis. They're still on their statewide tour. Mm-hmm. Today, I believe they're in Charlotte, or yesterday they were in Charlevoix. Today, they're heading to the Mackinac City and the Mackinac Island in the UP. But anyway, so Cade came down with tight end Eric All, defensive tackle Mozzie Smith, and quarterback DJ Turner. So they had four guys. Jim spoke for an hour. As I said, the players each got an hour. Some good anecdotes coming out. I mean, Eric All, Obviously, I think they feel confident in their tight end group and just the talent, the depth they have. Jim still believes that they could be two of the better, you know, tight ends in the country. We'll see about that. But, you know, Eric Hall is a former teammate, or excuse me, former roommate of Cade McNamara. So he knows him very well. He believes Cade's, you know, ready to go. At one point I asked Eric Hall about his former, you know, his position coach, Jay Harbaugh, who's now obviously coaching the safeties and he's still coaching special teams. But, you know, there's a funny anecdote and it'll get worked into a story at some point. But I think many of us remember the touchdown catch at Penn State that Eric Hall had. He was on one leg, essentially hobbling. Well, up until that point, he admitted to us afterwards that he was having a bad game. They went back and looked at the film, and Jay was very critical of his blocking and everything else that game. In fact, I think Eric said it was one of his worst games of his college career, and yet he was able to redeem himself with that touchdown catch. So good stuff from him. DJ Turner, Mozzie Smith were very high on Jesse Minter. At one point, DJ Turner laughed at just how similar Minter is to Mike McDonald, just in terms of personality and like movement and like play calling and everything else. So if you're expecting a ton of difference, I think, in what Michigan does this fall defensively, or even just, you know, style of play calling, I think you'll be surprised. We kind of assumed this, but the hire of Jesse Minter was very much a continuation of what Mike McDonald was doing. And the players are certainly seeing that behind the scenes. Not a ton of, you know, earth shattering stuff from Cade McNamara. I mean, he still acknowledges the quarterback competition. He's ready for it. He's motivated. As I mentioned earlier, he believes he's a better player than he was a year ago. So a lot of good stuff from them. I think the news came from Jim Harbaugh. He had a lot of stuff to hit on. There were several topics. We had stories up yesterday on live.com. He hit on the abortion issue again. He was asked about NIL. And what Michigan was doing, and he mentioned the Big Ten, and how he feels that the Big Ten should be sharing some of the money they get from the upcoming TV rights distribution deal with the players, which I thought was interesting. It's kind of the first time we've really heard that from a high profile coach yet. So a lot of news coming out from Jim's perspective.
Yeah, the abortion stuff, he's it's made headlines, Aaron. You've written more than one, you know, about it. I think, you know, partially because it's an issue that obviously transcends football and, you know, is a national issue that, you know, a lot of people, even people who don't really care about Michigan football, care about. You know, the thought of like, why would anyone care what Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh thinks about that, or really any other topic that's not related to football? I think people don't really. It's just that he has this platform, you know, that then, you know, he can, as you saw, he can help raise a lot of money for causes he believes in. And in this case, it's maybe on a different side of the political spectrum than some of his other views, I guess, to put it simply, is that, you know, especially in Ann Arbor, a very liberal town, you know, in a university that has more liberal values, this particular stance runs counter to those. So it'll just be interesting to see if it gets him in any, hot water or causes any friction, with the university or his team or anything like that. No signs of that yet, though.
Not yet. You know, and I've said this before about Jim in previous interviews and probably on this podcast, but Jim, you can't really fit into this neat little political box.
Yeah.
He has campaigned for Hillary Clinton. He has invited the Obamas to be honorary captains. He spoke in favor of Donald Trump at one point and then criticized him. He was against Colin Kaepernick, and then he came around on him. Issues there. So Jim has been all over the board on stuff, and to say he's one side or the other, and I think would be a little, guess, you'd be guessing, I think.
Yeah.
And when he feels passionate about issues, as we've seen, he's spoken out. You know, in the George Floyd protests a couple of years ago, he marched in Ann Arbor, you know, against police brutality. So, it's his opinion. I can tell you some folks behind the scenes at Michigan were a little caught off guard by Jim's appearance at an event a few weeks back in Plymouth, Right to Life event. But again, Jim's entitled to his opinion, as we all are. You take it or leave it. And Jim seems intent on talking about it. I will say that. You know, ESPN sent a crew to Muskegon the other day to ask Jim about it specifically. Jim didn't tell him no. I mean, he talked to them. He embraced his opinion. And in fact, yesterday at Big Ten Media Days here in Indy, he said we need to talk about it more. He believes more communication needs to take place. He took a few of three different questions on the subject. He wasn't short with either one. He wasn't. There was no attitude. It didn't seem like he didn't want to talk about it. So it's an issue he's obviously very passionate about. As I've written, he's a practicing Catholic. I think he told ESPN the other day that he has communicated that message to his team and his players and his family, obviously, and his coaches. Obviously there's going to be some folks disagree and he thinks that's fine. Now, the question here is, and it wasn't asked yesterday and I wish it would have been, the impact or the potential impact this could have with, recruiting in the future, because you remember Jim Harbaugh has to go into these living rooms and talk to these kids and their parents, and someone who is, staunchly and, pro-abortion might have an issue. No. So I don't know what the impact on recruiting is, but it's important to remember in the beginning of this conversation, that Jim has, spoke out on other hot topic issues in the past. So, this isn't the first time. It probably won't be the last time.
Okay, back to football here. As far as, you had two defensive players there. You had Harbaugh, talking about that side of the ball. We've talked about all the players they've lost, the star power and, the depth on defense. Did you get any sense from talking, to these guys yesterday that maybe we're overstating the losses, or what is the thought on how good they can be defensively?
Yeah, it's a good question, and Jim seems to think we are. He hit a line yesterday where he thinks, and I'll write about it, I think, later today in a live.com story, but Jim seems to think the defense could be better than it was last year, he didn't give a lot of evidence for it, but I think he likes the camaraderie and the hunger from some of these guys coming back. I think Michigan really likes what they have in Mike Morris. They like what they have, obviously, Junior Colson, a linebacker, and they have some experience coming back in the secondary. A lot of guys who played last year, a lot of talented young guys. So I think they like what they have. And yet, as we've talked about, new coordinator, but I think it's going to be a very similar looking X's and O's scheme system. So I don't think there'll be a lot of change, a lot of new wrinkles that we've really got to worry about. So, and they're really high on Mozzie Smith. That was a big thing Jim talked about. He really likes Mozzie, the leadership he's grown into. He thinks he could be a very good player this year. But Michigan seems to be a little bit higher on the defense. Maybe some folks are thinking we'll see if that ends up being accurate. They obviously don't have Aiden Hutchinson. They're going to need some players to step up. And I remember, Michigan kind of David Ojabo last year came out of nowhere, and he was a big part of the defense. I think Michigan thinks you can probably get one or two of those guys like that this year. The question is just who. So a lot of figuring out to do, but they seem more confident in the defense than some folks, I think, nationally think.
The good news is, when you look at their schedule, they don't face many high profile offenses too, especially earlier in the year. So, they're going to get a chance to get their feet wet and get the steam hammered down because Colorado State, Hawaii, Connecticut to start off. Maryland could have the potential to score some points, but even Iowa, they're always known for their defensive prowess. Indiana's got some question marks. So, there's that early on in the season, there's not many offenses that scare you. So if they have some hiccups early, then it's like, oh boy. But if they play pretty well, then it's like, all right, let's wait for that first real test to see how they can handle those losses that you guys mentioned.
Yeah. And to be clear, I wouldn't expect them to say, we lost a bunch, we're screwed, but I got that side of the ball. But it is interesting to hear maybe some of the optimism. All right. Anything else from either of you guys, takeaways from, what's been said in Indy or, anything about this football team for 2022?
I was just like, is it too early to predict who we think will take the first snap at quarterback this year? Before camp even starts? Do you think it's going to be Cade?
Yes, I do.
Cade. I've been on the Cade bandwagon since spring. Once we found out JJ was limited and couldn't throw and had a shoulder injury, I think that just gives Cade the opening here. Now, whether he ends up being the guy at the end of the year, I don't know. But like you said, the schedule is easy to start. Cade has all the momentum. He's healthy. He seems confident again. I think he's certainly going to be the guy at least the first half of the year. And when things pick up with the meteor schedule, who knows? I think maybe you'll see more of a split. You'll see more reps for JJ. And obviously, his health is going to play a big factor there. But no, I think Cade's the guy for now.
Do we get a sense that this is going to be more of a pass heavy offense in 2022 without Hassan Haskins and with all their receiving weapons coming back?
I'm glad you brought that up because I asked Jim yesterday about that. And he seems to think they'll be a little more explosive. They're going to try and throw the ball a little bit more. So we'll see. Cade seems to think that's going to be the case. They obviously don't have the power back like Hassan Haskins that they did last year. So they're going to do some things different with the run game. But I think they will be a little more lean toward the pass. I mean, I think they have to. The receivers and just the running backs can kind of get out in space and catch the football. So we'll see. I think so. But even Cade said they haven't figured out their identity yet. They went through spring and in the summer, and they kind of don't know what it's going to look like just yet. They're going to kind of learn as they go through the season. And I think that was the case last year, too. I think they came into the season with a impetus to run the football because they knew they could. And then they kind of figured it out from there. And I think you're going to see a similar situation this fall. I would not be surprised if they lean on the run game at least early to see what they have. But they've just got too many weapons in the passing game. Not even the receivers, but the tight ends. And they can get Donovan Edwards outside and Blake Corum. So, I think they're going to throw the ball a little bit more. You know, whether it's the deep ball down the field, we'll see. But I certainly think you're going to see more speed and space. And not to, knock on Josh Gattis here than you did last year.
Well, this Saturday will mark 5 weeks out from that season opener against Colorado State. So we'll have plenty of time for more coverage, as we ramp up towards the start of the actual season here on Wolverine Confidential and on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.